I'm Mary Amanatic.
Thank you so much, Paul. The triangle of self-obsession. I went to my first NA meeting in October 2009, and I was high. I remember somebody gave me a basic text, or they let me take the basic text because there were a few guys just like standing and talking with me, gave me a meeting schedule, and I guess they had already put away everything and I still had the basic text in my hands. And we're like walking out of the meeting and I was like, oh shit, am I supposed to take this? And nobody had the heart to ask me for $8. So I stole my basic text. And I went to meetings for a year using, and would read those IPs and think like, whoa, this sounds like some magical shit, right? And had absolutely no idea what to do with it. I remember reading The Triangle of Self-Obsession, and it seemed so organized, right? Like resentment, anger, fear. And then acceptance, love, faith, right? It seemed very symmetrical. And it also like sort of theorized some shit, right? It talks about how like when we're babies, all we do is cry, you know, because we can't express ourselves and everything. Our whole world is about filling our needs. Like, ah, I'm hungry, ah, shit, you know? And then like most of us grow up. But addicts don't. We're just like, fuck. And that made a lot of sense to me when I was using, right? But the whole, like, acceptance, love, faith made no sense. Like, most of the IPs, when I was reading them, like, whether it was self-acceptance or any of it, it's just, like, it basically says the answers in the steps, but I was using, and it didn't click, you know, and so, you know, eventually something clicked after going to enough meetings, and, you know, I reached that point where I knew that I couldn't use another day. I didn't care if I got clean or if I died, I just couldn't do that one more day, and I got clean because, you know, I couldn't steal enough drugs to OD on. And some cool shit started happening because I felt at home in NA, even though I'd just been going to meetings high in this little town, Athens, Ohio. When I went to treatment, like, I was convinced I'm an NA member, like day one in treatment. I'm going to go to NA meetings. I'm going to work NA steps with an NA sponsor. And I knew that because NA had become the only real fucking place in the world for me. Like, I'm leading this double life, right? Like, I was a college student, and, you know, to most of the world, the drugs were the lie, right? I had to pretend like I wasn't using. But then I was going to meetings, so when I was using, I had to pretend like I wasn't going to meetings. And so NA was the only place where I wasn't pretending. And I never lied about being high in NA only because it never occurred to me. I'm not judging anybody else. I just, like, didn't, like, because no one was making me go, you know? So I was just, like, it was the only real thing. It was the only thing that wasn't a cover for something else or the only. And so from day one, I knew I was an NA member and that NA was going to save my life. And I still know that. The Triangle of Self-Obsession, I was trying to think the other day, I was reading it. And I was like, well, what's the good triangle called? Right? Like the triangle of self-obsession versus the triangle of, I'm like playing with some ideas, like, no, it can't be the triangle of freedom or goodwill because we already have a pyramid. You know? It's a different shape. And all I could think was humility. You know, in our first step, I learned that humility is having an accurate understanding of my relative importance in the world. It's not like some sort of like monastic thing where I've like selfless, but then I think that I don't matter because I'll ping pong between those two extremes. I'll go from, you know, thinking that, like, get off my fucking back, I'm not hurting anybody, what I do doesn't affect you, which makes me think I don't matter to anybody, to why the fuck aren't you doing exactly what I want? Why are you not focused on my needs? That, you know, the baby shit. And I'll ping pong between those extremes, and I still do that clean. I still do that clean. I work in sales, and I lost a big fucking sale the other day. I've worked with this guy for months, met his fucking mother, all this shit. Spent like 20 hours in my life trying to sell this guy an engagement ring, and he fucking goes with somebody else. And I'm like, doesn't he care about my commission? Yeah, that's what you normally think of when you're buying an engagement ring, is me. You know, I still get in that shit, and if I'm practicing my first step, and I admit my powerlessness, I start to get a better sense of scale. You know, I'm not microscopic, I'm not a giant, I am just another person, and just like all people, like, you know, everybody's mostly focused on themselves, right? Like this, my customer wasn't focused on me. You know, and I have to put that in scale. And in the beginning, that was really, really hard. And then the second step, I start to see that, like, I'm fucking insane. You know? And I'm fucking insane, and I start modeling shit. Like, my second step practice, you know, when you go out and you talk to people and you call people for experience, strength, and hope on step two, and I start to see that, like, some people do have peace of mind, and they're not holding on to every little thing, and that's how I start to break that triangle of self-obsession. You know, I'm starting to build a little bit of it, like the first hint of an understanding of what humility might feel like, and then I start to look at others and say, you know what, this might work for me. It might. I had to take step two, and I still have to take step two down to the bare bones of, could a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I can't say it will happen. It just could. And that's hope. Right? That's hope. And in step three, you know, when I turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God, like, that line always trips me up because I don't know what the fuck my will and my life are. That seems really big, like biblical language, right? My will. Like, I need a fucking, like, chalice, my will. Like, no, it's my thoughts and my actions. That's how it's broken down to me. I decide that I'm going to put my thoughts and my actions into living the NA way the best that I can. And my higher power, no matter if my higher power is a religious higher power or the rooms of NA, and it is always the rooms of NA. Sometimes I feel the supernatural thing. I always feel the rooms of NA and the people in here, and I believe that when I do feel the supernatural thing, the supernatural, mystical God is working through addicts for me. And so if I just let you guys fucking help me, I believe I'm going to be cared for. And that starts to work on the fear and the triangle self-obsession for me. But I future trip more than anything else these days. I will, you know, because that self-obsession triangle, it's like, you know, self-centered fear is the core of my disease. And so somewhere deep down in me, my disease wants me to believe, wants me to know that I'm not good enough, I'm not going to measure up, and sooner or later you're going to figure that out too, and I'm terrified of that. And I still believe that sometimes today. I still think that, like, even the people who love me give them enough time, let them get close enough, and they're gone. If they see me. And if I'm not practicing my fucking steps, I go crazy in that shit. I, like, a couple weeks ago, I had to just sit down and, like, write some step work because I was future tripping so bad because, like, fundamentally, I just don't believe, like, and I can't put a reason on it. This is why it's insanity. You know, I can't be like, they're going to leave me because I'm a serial killer. No, like, I'm, like, a generally okay person. And I know that through step work. I know I'm not, like, fucking Dexter. I'm not fucking, like, killing people. I don't have, like, a double life anymore. I'm a jeweler. Like, you know, I sell fucking earrings. There's no, like, hidden life there. But I start to believe that. And that's just my sickness. And that's what drives me to be really fucking self-destructive. And sometimes that self-destructiveness is, like, pushing it to the fucking edge of where I'm gonna die using. And sometimes it's just like destroying relationships because I'm so afraid they're not gonna work out. Pulling away from friendships. Not taking that next step because I'm too afraid that I'm gonna fail. So I need step three to just say, like, do the fucking next right in a thing and it'll be okay. You're okay and your higher power loves you. And I have to work to stay in that. You know, I have to do that third step prayer. For me, a good third step prayer is, God, please take the wheel. I am tired of driving myself crazy. I don't want to drive anymore. And it works out. It always works out. And that commitment to living my life the DNA way means I have to do fourth steps. And that's when I really start working on that self-obsession, right? I break it down and I see what I have and what I need. Right, like today my fourth step normally is a list of what am I willing to live with and what am I not willing to live with. That's how I practice a fourth step today and apply it to situations. So it's like, am I willing to live with, like, are things not being perfect and, like, you know, maybe things taking a little bit longer than I need to and maybe me not being as evolved as I want to be right now, sure, but then there's some things that I can look at and be like, you know what, I'm not willing to live with me being this fucking sick or this fucking angry or this fucking whatever, and I have to push that away. And in step five, I get honest, and that is it, the triangle of humility is a good one, right? It doesn't work without honesty. Because I can't be honest if I'm not humble. Because the reason I'm not honest is that fear shit. I don't tell people what's really going on because I'm afraid they're going to judge me. I don't tell people what's really going on. I don't admit to myself what's really going on. Only when I, like, have a problem with it. You know, if I'm not keeping shit to myself, that's good. So I got to let that shit out. And you six, that's, you know, every time I do a six step, I get down to it, it's all fucking self-centered fear. No matter what it is, it's like, you know, I believe all the spiritual principles are just different facets of love. And they all work together. It's like a light bulb in the center of like a multifaceted light fixture, right? And each one of those little facets is love. But, you know, whether it's honesty or open-mindedness, willingness, steadfastness, that's a 12-step spiritual principle. Like that one because it sounds really important. That's all love, that commitment, that faith, that's all love. And I believe that what is fear but the absence of love? So my defects are just me blacking out the different sides of that light bulb until I'm in darkness. You know, it's that fear that's just keeping me away from everything, keeping me in myself. And that kind of hurts to look at when I'm doing a six step. You know, it hurts to see, like, you know, I keep fucking up. And I look at it and you analyze it and I'm like, oh, shit, like if I put it on paper, I can see that you know, I'm arrogant because I'm afraid that people aren't going to think that I'm enough, right? But what does arrogance actually do but make me look like a fucking fool? You know, every defect ends up creating the exact opposite of what I want it to do. You know, I have to put some new words in my vocabulary, like, I don't know. Or instead of saying, like, when I agree with somebody, instead of saying, I know, saying, you're right. So, you know, I get to 7, and it's like 3 again. You know, I surrender those and start to just ask for help in a more specific way. Take this from me. You know, help me with this. I try to keep 7 real simple, and that's when I start to feel these moments of relief. You know, about a month ago, I was driving from D.C. to Columbus because my dad was in the hospital again, and he has stage 4 cancer. And it was one of those things where my aunt's like, not saying he's going to die today, but come now. And I am so afraid. Sucks, and I get to, you know, stop at my brother's house, and I make the rest of the trip, and somewhere in the car ride, you know, I'm just praying, like, your will, and that fear was lifted. I mean, it still sucks to see your dad die. Like, he's hanging on right now, but we know it's coming, and it sucks, but I... You just say a 7-step prayer, a 3rd-step prayer, an 11-step prayer, whatever fucking step you want to call it, I'm praying. And that fear leaves me. And I trust that my higher power is going to take care of me. And then I can go see my dad, and I know that he knows I'm taken care of through NA. He doesn't have to worry about me. Like, I'm going to fucking keep on making mistakes because I am nuts. Hey, Kimberly. I am gonna still keep on fucking up, but like the thing is now my fuck ups aren't like really bad. Like, you know, when I fuck up, I'm not like sleeping in the back of a liquor store.
Come on.
Now when I fuck up, I'm like, shit, I gotta go to a meeting and talk about this. Right? Or like, shit, I gotta call my sponsor. Like, let me get out the book. See, my fuck ups now, like, I have like a fucking crew to help me. You know, I'm not like going into battle alone. I'm just like, all right, let's call in the army. You know, and that's what I love about NA. And that's like, you know, dealing with like my biggest fucking fears. And when my dad knows that I have that, he's not going to have to worry about me. Because like while he's in the hospital, I'm like, okay, now I got to go to Grateful Not Deadhead. Now I got to go to like the Candlelight meeting in Beckley. Like, you know, all these meetings in Columbus. And then on my way home, when he was better, I planned my trip so I could hit meetings on the way back. You know, I'm like, I'm going to go to Morgantown and hit up Dark Side of the Spoon. It's a good meeting. So 7 is like when I'm praying and I'm just like, take this shit from me. Take out this triangle of self-obsession. Just help me. And I get the faith I need or the love I need or the acceptance I need to get the fuck out of my head. 8 is like, 8 is the fucking hell for resentments. I hate 8 and 9. Don't like that shit. I want to brush everything under the rug. Just be like, we're good. But 8 teaches me how to forgive. And that's important. I mean, like, after I have gone to somebody and made my amends and, like, sat down at a kitchen table and then, like, I suck. And they show me that grace. It's hard to hold on to that anger and that resentment. And I stop reliving it. And I can say, like, I still have bad memories, but I have a lot less resentment. Because resentment means to feel again. Right? And I'm not feeling that shit again like it's happening still. A lot of that shit, I just think, like, well, that was fucked, but it's over. And that's just a bad memory now, and that's okay. I don't have to live in it. I don't have to feel it. And not the kids, so 8, 9, that whole process, like, man, that's some hard shit. But it helps me get out of myself. My 10-step, to be honest, I'll beat myself up with a 10-step. I'm the type that a 10-step can hurt me, because I'll get so fucking, like the step working guide questions for the 10-step are horrible for me. Was I kind and loving towards all today? Well, no, not all. You know, I bought a pack of cigarettes at the 7-Eleven. That wasn't a loving transaction. It was neutral. I didn't stop to ask the lady how she's doing today. You know, or like I didn't sell my car and give the money to starving orphan somewhere. I wasn't kind and loving towards all. I'm a selfish fucking American. Just driving my fucking car feeling like... You know, and I'll literally go there in my head, like, I was not kind and loving to the fucking orphans in Ethiopia. Yeah. And I have, like, I don't do the 10-step questions. I don't do that anymore. I, like, learn. If it's not practical, it's not spiritual, right? So, I picked one spiritual principle to focus on a day out of a deck of flashcards. And at the end of the day, I asked myself, I prayed for help in the morning. At the end of the day, I asked myself, like, how'd it go? Yep. Simple, right? Like, how did it go with commitment today? And I keep it small because it's not part of my spiritual program to beat myself up, because that's not humility. You know, it's asking for perfection. Our basic text in step 7 chapter says that humility is just as vital a part to staying clean as food and water are to staying alive. Yes. That is fucking real. So if I am like, if the way something is written in our literature isn't working for me, I can like be like, oh, I'll go to the Living the Program IP. That kind of works better than the step 10 and the step working guide. I just do it the way that works and helps me grow. And it's okay if that changes a lot as I get older, as I get more clean. I got clean when I was 21. I've spent one quarter of my life in NA. I grew up in this fellowship. This is all I know. My entire adult life, I have been in Narcotics Anonymous. So there is shit that I have to keep on learning. I have to learn to be an adult in here. And so the shit that was working for me in my step work when I was 21 might not be the same thing I need to do now as I approach 30. That's okay. My 11th step, I am so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, because when I first got clean, or when I was first going to meetings before I got clean, I would read step 11, it made no sense to me. It might as well have been in Chinese. Improve our conscious contact with a power greater than ourselves. What does that mean? I grew up the child of two, like, people who went to Catholic Church because they were just too traditional not to, but they did not believe it. It was a small town in West Virginia. My priest was Puerto Rican. We didn't have enough boys to be altar boys, so I was one. So I grew up a non-believing Puerto Rican Catholic altar boy in rural West Virginia. I did not know what fucking conscious contact was. I was just confused. I can tell you all about putting the hay out with the donkeys on Epiphany. The three wise men's donkeys are kissing the baby Jesus doll because it's good luck. But I did not know God. Yeah, this is weird. So on 11, I actually have a relationship with God now that I can use to get me out of that shit, to help me. I can write prayers now. When I first got clean, my first sponsor taught me how to pray using basic manners. In the morning I said please, and in the evening I said thank you. That's all. Nobody in my family made up prayers except my uncle, and he's a priest. I didn't know you were allowed to freestyle it. I thought you had like the Hail Mary and the Lord's Prayer, and that was it, the act of contrition. The prayers were something that were like copyrighted. And then I'm like supposed to come up with prayers on my own. and it doesn't feel like I'm faking it. And that is all through the steps, and that's what kicks me out of that place and helps me find a humble place for a few minutes, because I don't stay humble that long. You know, my friends are asking, like, are you nervous about speaking? And I'm like, it's the triangle of self-obsession, so it's all about me. Fine. And then step 12, you know, carrying the message to the addict who still suffers. Having had a spiritual awakening, it assumes that once we get to 12, we've awakened. Our spirits are awake now. My spirit was in a fucking coma. I had the nods. My spirit was fucking nodded out, too. It wasn't like the spirit was, like, doing jumping jacks as I'm, like, trying to keep both eyes the same amount of open. No. So my spirit wakes up, and it keeps waking up as I practice these steps. And the way that I maintain that is I try to share this shit. My home group is the Beachcombers Electric Coffee Test, pure spiritual progress, underground, Narcotics Anonymous group. Woohoo! And we meet at 8:05 at St. Albans on Saturday night. And I was lucky enough, my friend Scotty asked me to be the coffee maker a little bit ago. Maybe like over a year ago. I was like, oh man, like I work Saturdays, blah, blah, blah. It is the best service position I have ever had. I have been an area secretary, an area chair, GSR, webmaster somehow, fucking English major. And being the coffee maker is so important because I get there early and I get to have this like 45 minutes with my friends. And I get to put out the urn and make sure that, like, our cups are washed.
And it's so delicious.
Yeah, thank you. It really is the best coffee in NA.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, I say a prayer when I put the coffee out. In my head, I just say a prayer like, may this be a blessing of community. It's like sacramental now. And maybe that's some, like, vestigial Catholic shit coming in. Like, Catholic voodoo shit, because I'm Puerto Rican Catholic, right? But somehow, it works for me. And then I've had the pleasure the last couple months, there's this newcomer girl who is fucking awesome, and she didn't make it this weekend because she's spending the day at, like, a sponsorship thing. She's got like 23 days now, and that is firing up my recovery. So let's give a shout out to Vidya. That's how my spirit stays alive, and that is like the opposite of self-obsession. When I can like focus on somebody who's not me, and put my energy into making sure that this newcomer gets ice cream before she goes home. Right, because that'll maybe keep her from thinking about taking something for another hour. And that's what recovery is, man. That's, you know, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. I live for those moments that I get those calls in the middle of the night. And I am not embarrassed if I need to make that call in the middle of the night. When I had like 3 years clean, the first time my dad was diagnosed with cancer, I was making those calls, and I didn't make those in the beginning. And all of a sudden, I'm calling my friends like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can get up and do another day. And they're like, do you feel like using? I'm like, I just feel like giving up. And for someone like me, that probably means using, but I haven't thought about it that much. Like, I haven't thought that far down the line. And when I had like almost 5 years clean, I was unemployed and I didn't know where to go. I had a really bad day where like I'm gonna be couch surfing, living out of my car, the car breaks down, I've got like a suitcase in the rain, my sandal breaks, like no car, no home, no job, no fucking shoes. This is a really bad day. And I was like, I just finished grad school and I was having all these thoughts. Like, haven't I done everything you asked of me, God? I have stayed clean. I have gone to meetings. I have been of service. Where's my fucking cookie? haven't I? Right, that's a bad way for me to start a sentence. That's that self-obsession, right? Where's my needs? I turn into a toddler again. So I called my sponsor, and I talked to her. I went to a coffee shop and met with an addict. And he took me to a meeting, and I bitched about it. And before I knew it, I had done all the basics. I was praying. What the fuck, God, is still a prayer asking for his will for me. Calling my sponsor, working the steps, living in it. And so, you know, it didn't last forever. So today, you know, I'm going to try to stay in the triangle of humility. That's my thing. Try to stay in that. Because that's where I get freedom. I get freedom from not just active addiction, but freedom from addiction that's like acting in different ways. You know, the fucking disease of the mind. And our promise is freedom. Our message is hope. I get that from NA, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.